It was that final quarter.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The last 3 months of the year is when the job market really tanked and put 2008 in the history books. This morning we got December's unemployment numbers, and they were a little better than November. But for the year, the economy lost 2.6 million jobs. That's the highest number since the end of World War II. More now from Marketplace's Janet Babin at North Carolina Public Radio.
The Labor Department says businesses cut 524,000 jobs last month. That hikes December's unemployment rate to a whopping 7.2%, the highest it's been in more than 15 years. The only sectors that gained jobs in December were healthcare and education. Economist Richard DeKayser with National City Bank says businesses shed payrolls to survive the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression. But he's optimistic that the jobs figures will improve somewhat later this year.
Employment is a lagging economic indicator. Things remain very stressed financially, but we have seen some modest improvements. And of course, policymakers are working aggressively to improve conditions even further.
That includes President-elect Obama's stimulus plan to create or save 3 million jobs over the next few years. For now, the pace of job losses is adding to worries that this recession will be the longest since the early 80s. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Wall Street's reaction? Sell. The Dow is down 109 points, more than a percent, to 86.32. The NASDAQ has dropped 30, and the S&P 500 is down 13. Overseas today, stocks were mixed in Asia. European shares are actually up about half a percent. Today, the House is expected to pass a pair of civil rights bills. They're designed to give workers more power to sue over alleged pay discrimination. Mitchell Hartman has more on that.
One bill is called the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. She's the former Goodyear tire worker who sued because her male colleagues got paid more for doing the same work. In 2007, the Supreme Court threw out her case, saying she should have sued within 180 days of getting her first discriminatory paycheck. The House bill would reverse that and start the clock ticking anew every time an employee gets paid. Marcia Greenberger of the National Women's Law Center.
Now it is so difficult for anyone to get justice or a remedy for pay discrimination. By restoring the law to where it was, it will increase the litigation.
And more lawsuits is something Randall Johnson of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says businesses can ill afford.
Anytime you have increased litigation costs, that's got to be paid for from somewhere, and that's going to come out of the bottom line.
With Congress and the White House in Democratic hands now, business lobby groups will find themselves fighting off more worker-friendly legislation in coming months, including a bill to make it easier to organize labor unions. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Congress set up a five-person panel to look at the bailout fund and the Treasury's handling of it. Today, the panel issues its report, and it rips the Treasury. The head of the panel is Harvard professor Elizabeth Warren. She was on ABC's Good Morning America today, and she said the Treasury seems to have no idea how the money given to banks is being spent.
And so the money could be used in lots of different ways. It might be used for lending, which was supposedly the initial purpose. It might be used to buy other banks. It might be used to buy other assets. It might be used to buy things overseas. Or it may just be stuffed in vaults and left there.
Warren says the Treasury didn't even respond to some of the panel's questions. And she also faults the department for ignoring homeowners facing foreclosure. This is the Morning Report for Friday, January 9th on Marketplace.org. Starting Monday, there's a new Department of Homeland Security system for controlling visitors coming into this country. But a leading British travel expert says it could take a bite out of tourism here. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
It's called ESTA, Electronic System for Travel Authorization. This new security requirement applies to travelers who don't need a visa to enter the United States. Those travelers must now fill out an online form at least 3 days before departure. in order to get clearance from the US to make the trip. Simon Calder is one of Britain's best-known travel experts. He says the new system will put quite a few people off visiting America.
This latest hurdle, I fear, is going to deter an awful lot of prospective tourists from Britain and elsewhere in the world. America looks too difficult to get into, I'm sorry to say.
The Department of Homeland Security insists the new system will mean minimal inconvenience. Once an application's been accepted, it will be valid for multiple visits for a period of 2 years. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Among the many things on Barack Obama's plate is the issue of health care. Obama has his own proposal for universal coverage, and there are other plans being proposed. A report out today looks at what is economically viable. Here's Elisa Roth.
The Commonwealth Fund looked at a bunch of proposals designed to get health insurance for more Americans. They're a private foundation that tries to promote a better healthcare system. And basically what they found was that several of the proposals could work, but the key is forcing people to get coverage. Sarah Collins is the lead researcher on the study.
It's very difficult to get everyone covered unless there is a requirement. And that obviously has to be coupled with strong affordability standards, making sure that people have subsidies, with particularly if they have low incomes, to allow them to afford a comprehensive plan.
The study points out that universal health care wouldn't be free. The federal government would most likely have to spend more, but the country's total spending on health care wouldn't go up by much, especially if the plan used economies of scale to lower costs. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
In this kind of economy, churches might just have more visitors. The churches near Wall Street have definitely seen more people coming in. And some of those houses of worship are using the economic fallout to pitch their message. Ashley Milne-Tite has that story.
Look up at the ornate exterior of St. Bartholomew's Church in Midtown, and you'll notice a couple of posters. One features a photo of a trader, his hand clapped to his forehead. On another, an office worker peers worriedly at a computer screen. The posters are part of the church's latest marketing campaign. William Tully is the rector of St. Bartholomew's.
Actually, we got a complaint from a parishioner who thought that they were too graphic and that we were exploiting the crisis. And she said, when I look around the place that I work, I see people like that. I don't want to come to church and see them.
The message on the posters reads, "A church for these times." Tully says St. Bart's just wants New Yorkers to know it understands what they're going through and that it can help. He says the move seemed fitting given some of the church's neighbors.
Two blocks one direction is the corporate headquarters of J.P. Morgan. Two blocks the other way, the corporate headquarters of Citigroup.
And in every direction, there are layoffs and fears for the future. Tom Eric is St. Bart's development director. He began to notice more foot traffic in September.
We saw people coming into church, business people, men and women in suits, just sitting in the pews, some holding their heads in their hands. We had increased attendance at our midday Eucharist, and that has continued.
The darkened mood is also being felt downtown. At Trinity Church on Wall Street, the Reverend Mark Bazzuti-Jones says he's seen people crying, praying, and seeking counsel.
I have one guy in particular, and I'm very moved by his story. He felt so overwhelmed that he was losing $2 million every 2 weeks for many of his clients.
That money manager was at one end of the scale. At the other, he says, are the office cleaners and nannies whose jobs depend on Wall Street money. He's met with some laid-off workers who can no longer pay rent. He says he's humbled every day by what he hears. Still,
finance is an intricate part of religion. And so I'm glad that, you know, as a religious person, I get to talk about how this financial crisis touches us at the core of who we are as human beings.
Even as his church helps some of the newly destitute feed their bodies as well as their souls. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be
be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.